Let me share two things with you before, or three things really quick before we jump right into the message. First, in your bulletin today, this is Missions Month here at the church. In your bulletin today and next week and the following week, there will be a recipe. Some of you love to cook and you say, how can we talk about missions as a family? This week, you have a recipe from the country of the Philippines. Phil and Becky Davis are missionaries that we support in the Philippines, and this is a recipe you should be able to make. So let me encourage you to make the recipe, and then as you enjoy that meal together, to say a special prayer before you enjoy that meal. Maybe read about what Phil and Becky Davis do, what their work there is, and then you can pray especially for that. I was thinking about having one for Panama this week because of Perry, and you may have seen the picture in there. There was Perry with three other national leaders from different places around the world. The gentleman right next to Perry was a guy named Jose McKella. And I was thinking, and I know Jose. Jose, I whispered to Julie as I was watching that video. I've sat in that chair in Perry's house. I've been there on two occasions. And I was thinking about when we were with Perry and Nancy there, and Jose, and we had preached one night at a church out on the porch of someone's house, way out in a rural area, and we got done, and I said, Jose, like, I want to take you anywhere you want to go for dinner. I want to buy you an incredibly nice meal. Like, I want to get you whatever you would get. And I'm picturing, like, some authentic Panamanian cuisine, the whole deal. I said, Jose, where do you want to go? We can go anywhere at all. We will spare no expense. And he looked at me. He said, you won't like this very much. And I was like, no, it can be anything. And I was thinking, what are we going to eat? Are we going to eat a horse or what? Like, what is it, you know? And he looked at me and he said, I love Kentucky Fried Chicken, he said. So we went to Kentucky Fried Chicken. So if you really want to remember Panama this week, go buy some Kentucky Fried Chicken, and you can pray for Jose as well. So I want to encourage you in that. I also want to publicly say thank you to everybody who served yesterday. Bob Pouye had a great group of people here, and I think the property looks beautiful. We can thank God for that. Like, thank God for them and for that. There were some folks here that served and worked yesterday. And then I just got a note just this morning. I got a text message during the first service that a family that has connected here a little bit, and they're more connected with the Shack out at LCO, the Crone family had a total loss of a fire for their house. And I want us to say a prayer for them, and then we'll jump right into this message this morning. God, the words total loss are incredibly hard to hear. And then they're even harder to experience. So today I pray for the Crone family. I pray that people that are connected to this church, that they'll just be hands and feet of Jesus in their lives in these days. I pray that you would help them to know what the next step even is in a moment like this. And I pray now too, God, that you would speak really clearly through this simple little message this morning, that it might make a difference for all of us and ultimately for the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some time ago, I was boarding a flight. I got on the plane. I had my bag. I stowed it up above the seat. I sat down. I buckled up. I put the armrest down. I made sure that I had occupancy of the armrest because I didn't want to share it. I gathered myself there together. I put my earphones in. I began to listen to music. And as I was listening to music, I began to scroll on my phone like we do. At some point, I heard an announcement come over the loudspeaker, and in the flight attendants, they filled the center aisle of the plane, and they began to give a little bit of a lecture. Maybe you've heard this lecture before on an airplane, but they began to talk about the fact that if the plane crashed, like, you could use your seat cushion as a flotation device. I thought I would need two of those, but they began to say all of these things that we have heard them say, and I just kind of zoned out. I just kind of checked out. I didn't really listen to them at all. I just kept scrolling. And then at one point, I looked around and I noticed that nobody else was listening either. I wasn't listening to them, and nobody else was listening either. Here is a life-altering message, a message that could potentially save my life, and I just ignored it. And you ask yourself, well, why would that even be? Well, one, I had heard the message before. I had heard this message so many times that I already knew what the message was. I knew how United Airlines gave the pre-flight announcements. Another reason was that I thought that the message was for somebody else. Like, here I sit on this airplane, and I thought to myself, you know what, this airplane isn't going to crash. That's for somebody else's airplane. Honestly, maybe a little bit of why I checked out that day is that the person giving the message didn't really seem convinced of it. They were a little checked out too. Like, they're just kind of going through the motions and showing how you put your mask on and all those kinds of things. Quite honestly, I sat there and I thought, this message, while it might be really important, it isn't that urgent. Now, it occurs to me this morning that the message I'm about ready to share with you could be heard in the exact same way. You could say, I've heard this message before. You could say, this message is for someone else on some other plane in some other church, some other place. You might even think that the messenger isn't that convincing, and you might think that this message really isn't that important. But I want you to know that this message is huge. And honestly, if you've been in the church for any length of time, I know that you have heard this message. If you were here before my time, my predecessor wrote a book on this message. He called it Purple Fish. And so I pray today that you will hear this message with the utmost importance. I pray today that you will hear this message with the highest level of urgency. I pray today that I will do whatever I can, that you will know that this is a message that matters to the messenger as well. And I pray that you will hear this message with a deep conviction that this message matters for not just the whole world, but for your world, for our world, for what we call our world. I want to talk to you today about the mission that we have as disciples of Jesus. So we started last week. We're in the book of Matthew. We're looking at the same passage every single week these days. Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He sees two brothers. He sees Simon, who they called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Jesus said, I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and they followed him. When did they do it? They did it when? At once. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Go to the next slide. And they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, and they were preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and when did they respond? It was immediately. They left the boat and their father, and they followed him. Jesus sees them fishing, and he says to them, come, follow me, and I will. What will he do? What is it that Jesus will do? Come follow me. Oftentimes when we think of following Jesus, we think about what's in it for me. Jesus, if I follow you, I want you to make my family not fight so much. Jesus, if I follow you, I want you to make me a better father, a better parent. Jesus, if I follow you, maybe you can help me with my business so that my fishing expeditions will be a bit more lucrative. Jesus, if I follow you, will you solve my problems? And in this moment, those things are not the priority to Jesus. Jesus says, I want you to follow me. Follow me. Jesus says, I want you to follow me. He's saying, this isn't about you. You say, well, wait a minute, you're inviting me to follow you. What is this about? Jesus says, follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. Jesus says, if you follow me, if you follow in my footsteps, if you listen to me and learn from me and stay focused on me, here's what's going to happen. I am going to send you out to fish for people. This is my social distancing flagpole, or fishing pole flagpole. You can tell how good of a fisherman I am. Nobody comes closer this morning. Jesus is saying this. You want me to summarize this verse for you? Jesus says, followers fish. Followers fish. If you follow me, I will send you out to fish for people. What happens when we follow Jesus is that we draw close to Jesus, and then Jesus says, go fish. Go fish. Go fish for people. Now, here's what happens sometimes. Sometimes we say, well, listen, I don't really want to fish. I don't like the idea of fishing. I don't want to exert my opinions on anyone else. And so, well, here's what I want. I just want to be a better person, Jesus. I just want to go to heaven when I die. I just want to be a good parent. And Jesus says, no, follow me and you will fish. I will send you out to fish for people. Or we might say this, you know what? Those people over there, they fish. They're the ones who fish. They're the ones with the lures and the tackle boxes and the nets and the boats. They're the ones who fish. And Jesus says, no, if you follow me, you're going to fish. This fishing for people thing is not something that only a few of us do. It is something that every single follower of Jesus is to do. This fishing for people thing isn't just something we do even as a church. It is something that each of us as individuals and individual followers of Jesus must do. Now you might say, well, listen. I don't know if I'm really the best fisherman. Like, have you ever been fishing with someone and that fisher person, that fisherman, fisherwoman, like they talk all the time while you're fishing? And it's like, don't talk all the time, you're scaring the fish. Like, you say, well, I don't know if I'm really cut out to fish. I don't know if I'm really like a first round draft pick when it comes to fishing. You need to hear this today. The people that Jesus chose, the ones that were tending their nets, the others that would end up being his disciples, were the least likely. Jesus will always choose the least likely for this mission. Jesus had 3 years. He had 3 years to start a worldwide movement. And what did he do? One author says this: God skipped all the wise of the day. The great scholars, they were in Egypt. The great library was in Alexandria. The great philosophers, they were in Athens. The powerful, they were in Rome. He skipped over Herodias, the historian, Socrates, the thinker, and Julius Caesar too. He chose men and women. He chose men so ordinary that it was comical, the writer says. No rabbis, no teachers, no religious experts, not even a single synagogue ruler. Half were fishermen, one essentially an IRS agent, and one a former terrorist. Jesus chose the B team, and he put the fishing rod in their hand, and he said, now you fish for people. Have you ever been on the B team? Anybody? Anybody ever been on the C team? These were not first-round draft picks, friends. Jesus chooses the least likely. Jesus chooses people who would desperately need help with their fishing. They would need help. That video that you saw earlier about Cambodia, I was in Cambodia a number of years ago, and they asked me to give a devotional at the service there that day at the Bible school where these people were, students were learning. And so I stood up, and I had a translator. His name was Arun. And I stood up to give my little message, and they say, keep it as simple as you can. And so I started out, and it wasn't going very well. I mean, it was painful, and I could tell, like, I would say something, and they would just kind of sit there. They're just like this. And I was like, oh, man, this is not going well. They're just staring at me. Nobody's writing anything down. Nobody even looked, like, happy that I was in the room in that moment. And then at one point, something happened, and I said something like, God is love. And Arun, he just starts in, like, blah, 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 blah. He just starts screaming, like, blah, blah, blah. And I had said three words, God is love. And he's, blah, 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 blah. And everybody in the room cheered, like, yes. And I was like, man, this is good. And so I was like, God is love. God loves lost people. And like, here comes Arun. Blah, 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 blah. He's going on and on, and Kumar, and then everybody cheers again. And I was like, yes. Like, they were literally clapping and shouting. And I would say something simple like, there's no person too far from God for Jesus to save them. And a room would just shout it out. And like, they would all shout. So we leave. And I was like, man, I was feeling good. I mean, I had like three altar calls in this talk, and I felt so good. We got done, and we walked out, and I said to Arun, I said, man, it didn't start very well, but man, I thought it ended fantastic. And I said, Arun, like, what was that? Like, you have to help me understand, though, because I would say, God is love, and you went on like a two-minute answer. I said, help me, though, and he turned to me, and he said, don't worry about that. I was like, don't worry about that. You're my translator. Like, I want to know what you said. And he said, no, I was just helping you a little bit, he said. I was just helping you a little bit. We all need help. We all need help. The fishermen and fisherwomen and fisher people that Jesus invites us to be, we all need help. Help. Jesus says it's the weakest vessel that's infinitely greater. It's infinitely greater than the greatest talent without Jesus. Jesus chooses the least likely. Now, some of you might say, well, listen, I'm really not that comfortable with the idea of fishing. Like, I don't even know that I like the idea of fishing. And you need to know this. Most fishermen are uncomfortable at first. Becky Pippert, she wrote a book about evangelism, and she says this. She said, what Christians and non-Christians have in common is that both groups are uptight about evangelism, uncomfortable at first. So this fly rod became mine one day when Sam Moore walked into the office right in here. He said, I got something for you, and it was all in its case and everything, and it pulls into two parts, and he leaned it on the wall, and I said, well, are you going to teach me how to use that? And he said, no, I'm not going to teach you how to use that. He said, I'm not patient enough, he said, to teach you how to use that. And he said, no, I'll tell you who will teach you how to use that. I said, who will teach me how to use this? And he said, Jim January, he'll teach you how to use this. And I said, okay. And so I told Jim, I got this fly rod, and I don't know how to use it. So one night, Jim was here at the church, and I said, maybe you could teach me how to use this. And he said, yeah. And he said, let's go out here in the parking lot. And I'm like, the parking lot? So we went out in the parking lot, and he wired this thing up and lined it up and did everything that you do. And then he said, now you have to do this, like get your feet like this, and then you're going to sway back, and you're going to get like a rhythm going with this thing. Just do what I do, and I'm trying to do it. It was so uncomfortable. I'm sure people driving by were like, that man can't dance. Like, that's what I'm sure they thought. I told First Service, if you've ever watched Seinfeld, I was like Elaine Bennis dancing. That's the only way I know to describe it. It was not a pretty sight. It was uncomfortable. I remember Jim looked at me and said, this one's going to take way more than one lesson, Chad. I was like, put me in the boat. I'm ready to fish. And he was like, no, you're not ready to fish. Because we are uncomfortable, we often don't fish at all. Because we are uncomfortable with this whole fishing thing, we often just set the rod down and we don't fish at all. You see, oftentimes what we do instead of fishing is we spend a lot of time with other fish that have already been caught, because that's sometimes easier. And we get together and we dissect the approach that other people take in their fishing. And it's so easy, if we're not careful, it's so easy that we end up, more than one writer has talked about this, we end up really, really focused on the aquarium, this thing called the church, that we want to take care of the aquarium, and we want to protect the aquarium, and we want to make sure the aquarium works the way that it should. And don't get me wrong, the aquarium matters, but it's so easy to get so focused in here that we forget about out there. We forget about fish that need to be caught. It's so easier to get focused on fish that are already caught that we forget about all the fish that need to be caught. It's so easy to get focused here that we forget that Jesus said, follow me, and he didn't say follow me, period. He said, follow me, and I will send you out. There, it comes together. There is a following after Jesus, and there is a sending that comes from that. And so what we do instead is that instead of fishing, we make sure we have this all looking nice. Instead of fishing, we tend to this. And again, I'm not saying that's all wrong. But I wonder if at some point Jesus might say, follow me and go fish for people. Max Lucado says, when fishermen don't fish, they fight. They fight. They end up being focused on other things. They end up being focused on lesser things. I heard about a man, we'll call him Bubba, and Bubba would go out and he would catch 100 fish where others would only catch a few. And Bubba would go out and do this and nobody could make sense out of it. And so one day the DNR called Bubba and they said to Bubba, they said, Bubba, we're going to go fishing with you. And so they showed up and they got in Bubba's boat and Bubba took the boat out in the water and the fisherman or the DNR guy thought it was odd because Bubba didn't have any poles and he didn't have any lures. All he had was a net. And they went out there in the middle of the lake, and Bubba reached into a duffel bag in the boat, and he pulled out a stick of dynamite. He lit the dynamite on fire, lit the wick. He threw it in the lake. Kaboom! 200 fish float to the top of the lake. Bubba goes around with his net, and he picks up all the fish. The DNR agent is stunned at what he just saw. And Bubba goes to another part of the lake. He grabs another stick of dynamite, lights it up, throws it in the lake. Boom, 100 fish float to the top, and he peels all those fish off the lake. The DNR agent said, this is a felony. This is a misdemeanor. You cannot do this. He's going on and on. Bubba just laughed. Bubba reaches in his duffel bag again while the DNR agent is losing his mind. He reaches in his duffel bag again. He lights another stick of dynamite on fire. He puts it into the DNR agent's hand and he said, are you going to talk or are you going to fish? I wonder if Jesus sometimes might look at us and say, are we going to talk or are we going to fish? Are we going to talk or are we going to fish? I had an interesting thought this week. If I spend time with Jordan Baker, I'm going to learn about the Chicago Bulls. If I spend time with Pete Wisdom, I'm going to learn about trees. If I spend time with Josh Yoder, I'm going to learn about construction. If I spend time with Frank Pratt or John Lawson, I am going to learn to fish. And if you follow Jesus, you will not simply talk about fishing. Jesus says, I will send you out. I will send you out to fish. You will not only learn to fish, but you will actually fish. And it will mean uncomfortable steps. It will mean walking on the water and focusing only on Jesus. It will mean uncomfortable conversations. It will mean uncomfortable priorities that are reordered, but it will always result in fishing for people. Now, I know people who say this, though, when it comes to this whole fishing for people thing. They'll say, look, I'm not very good at it. Like, I'm not going to catch that many. I don't know that even, you know, 100 or 1,000 people are going to come to faith because I go fishing for people. Here's what I want you to hear. One fish matters. One fish matters. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've chosen to trust him and you've accepted that invitation, come follow me, and that's the pursuit of your life, you need to know this. You were a fish once. You were a fish that was off in the deep end of the pool. You were doing things on like the Friday night into the pool that were crazy and careless and reckless. And somebody who loved you enough that was following after Jesus too came along. And they said, you know what? There's a better way. There's a different path. There's a different way you can live. You can live for Jesus. One fish matters. I remember one day Sam would just stop by, Sam Moore. I remember one day he just stopped by and he came in and he sat down and we would always talk basketball and we would talk about a number of things. And at some point we would always start talking about fishing. At some point we would always talk about fishing. And I remember at one point Sam said to me, Chad, listen, when you go fishing, you don't have to catch all the fish in the lake. You just have to catch one. And he said, when you catch that one, just one fish, it'll be the story that you tell for the rest of your life. Do you know that one fish matters? Like, look how much one fish matters to Ryan Wilson. Like, look at this. Ryan told me that's the bait, not the actual catch. But that's one fish. One fish matters. Or how about this fish? I caught this fish a couple, 3 months ago now. That's the biggest fish I ever caught in my life. I caught that thing. I pulled it out. I was with John Lawson and Pete Wisdom. I pulled that fish out of the lake. They said, now if you hold it with the grabbers, it'll look bigger. And so I had the grabbers there, and I held it up. And then I was like, now, guys, you got to bring the camera closer, because that's what they told me, Francis. You got to bring the camera closer because it makes the fish look bigger. But they did. They got the wide shot, which somebody told me that's not good because now you know which lake I caught that on and all of this. You want to know what lake I caught that on? It's called Lake You Wish You Knew. That's what, like, I caught it on. I'm told that's what you're supposed to say. I don't know. And so I had that fish, and I held it up. I caught other fish after that fish. I caught two more that day. I caught one that was actually bigger than that fish, but here's the deal. There was only that picture, and I want you to know, I bet you I've shown that picture now, no kidding, to well over 100 people. Somebody will start talking about their fish stories. And they'll put up the picture of Ryan's fish again. They'll put up a picture of their fish stories. Can you go back one, Inga? They'll put up their fish stories, and I'll be like, well, that's a really nice fish, but let me show you this. And I'll hold it up. I show them this picture, and they're like, ooh, that's a good one. One fish matters. One fish matters. So who's your one? Who's the one person that you can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, point to Jesus this year? Who's the one person that you can pray, God, look, I don't know if I'm really comfortable with this fishing thing. I don't even know if I'm really cut out for this fishing thing. I feel like I'm on the C team at best. But God, if you could somehow use me to fish for people, who's that one? Who's the one that your small group could pray for, that you could say, you know what, when we get together, we're gonna pray that God would move somehow through our group, that we'll see this person come to faith in Jesus Christ? Who's your one? Who's the one person? Don't just think about the whole world for a moment. Don't let your mind race to Cambodia or Panama or somewhere else. Think about where you live. Jesus says, lift your eyes unto the hills. Lift your eyes, for the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Lift your eyes and see that there's fish to be caught, but there's few fishermen that are actually fishing. Jesus wants to use you to point them to him. Jesus says, I come follow me. The same invitation that you responded to is what they would respond to. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's bow our heads together. Jesus, I pray. I pray that it would be said of us that we fish for people. Help us to fish for people, I pray, right here, right now. Make us fishers of men. Help us to look for people, to be intentional in sharing this, Jesus, to make that invitation clear, and help us to work hard to see other people come to know you. Help us to share the gospel. Help us to share the good news of what you've done, and don't let us go through our lives not fishing for people, not doing what you have called us out to do, commissioned us to do, set us apart to do. Help us be fishers of men, and may there be many, many people who come to know you because we simply were sent out on a mission by you. In Christ's name, amen. Let's watch this together.